this track, boy. This track, let's go. Go. Let's go.
They like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that black, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that gold, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Man, I swear, I think they like my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Yeah. It's pushing 180. See you later, baby. Colorado Army with soldiers like the Navy. Yeah. And boaters where we stationed, patiently awaiting. Whoa. When I hit the field, it's so hard to behave. Yeah. I'm Colorado swagging as the crowd do the wave. Look into my eyes, I can tell that you afraid. Uh-huh. Cause you know we finna hit ya. Hit ya. Hit ya. Hit ya. Hey. Hey. You on your own now, why you watching the official? Yeah. You just better hope you make it to the next whistle. Yeah. And we ain't playing with ya, you can get it. In the middle of the ring, throwing blows, knocking down team after team.
I think they like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that gold, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my...
And welcome in. See if we're on here. There we come. Welcome in to another edition of Adam Munster Tigers Buff Stampede Radio. This is William Gardner, and I'm here again with my man Leo. Going to get back into football today. Hopefully a lot of you were here on Wednesday when we did what I thought was an amazing tribute to Adam. We went for 2 hours, and I don't think anybody left. And okay, see, there it is already. Some of the comments that were made about Adam were beautiful, and we all really appreciate you all very much. So we're going to turn it a little bit. We still got, and I want to shout out to Forever Buff Derek Webb for his intro music and former linebacker for the Buffs. And let me introduce my co-star, I guess, Leo Rivera.
Yeah, thanks for introducing me here, William. For you guys who don't know, one of the younger guys here with Buff Stampede, Adam brought me on, you know, officially back in March when he made this transition over to On3. But he's been a part of my life for the last couple of years covering CU journalism. I'm a student journalist going into my senior year. So some of you have seen me before, and if you haven't, it's good to meet you. And I'm excited to, you know, continue on Adam's legacy here.
Well, tell us your football background, big boy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I played, you know, football in the state of Colorado at Roosevelt High School, won a state championship my senior year, was part of a team that went 14-0 and undefeated. So a lot of experience there. Then went into coaching once I got into, you know, college at the middle school level, coached some middle school football for a little bit. I dabbled in coaching some wrestling. But, you know, right now I'm back into high school football coaching at Roosevelt High School as an assistant offensive line coach. So I've been really locked into the sport my entire life. I mean, I've been playing tackle football since they allowed me to put on shoulder pads. So that's pretty much what I do. Oh no, Oliver Hayes got my huddle pulled up here, it looks like.
tell him your size, my friend.
Yeah, right now I'm about 6'2", 270 pounds. When I actually played, I was about 288, a little higher. Oh yeah, that's a great play, moving in space. Look at that. That's how you get out on a, yeah, you know.
Just moving. If it was just flowing, we could see you catch up with that running back probably. So this is going to be our debut, the two of us doing actual football, and you know, it's a little bit of a switch up for me because now I'm sitting in the big guy chair, and so you know I got to kind of lead things in and everything, whereas before with Adam all I had to do was show up and run my mouth. Now I got to kind of direct things and everything. So bear with us a little bit, we're going to have a little fun here, and I want to start off. I also want to tell you about our behind the scenes guy, Oliver Hayes, is our producer, and Oliver, come in here and tell him who you are, my friend.
All right. Yeah. My name is Oliver Hayes. Adam brought me on to Buff P in 2024. at the beginning of the basketball season. Basketball is the sport I like to cover. So that's where most of you guys know me, if you know me, is covering the Buffs on the basketball side of things the last 2 years. But I've covered the football team throughout my college career. I just graduated this past spring. So the last 4 years I did that. And this past year, Adam, had me write stories about football. So, I'm always transparent about I know a lot more basketball than football. But, I try and do what I can. And of course, like Leo said, help carry on Adam's legacy. And at the moment, this football stuff, it's kind of behind the scenes and make that the podcast is run smooth. So,
yeah, and Oliver and Leo, they're not going to bang their own drums. So I'll do it for them because I got a lot going on in my job and everything, and I just have these guys figure out a way to make it work, guys. And they found out everything, figured out everything, talked to people, they're talking to recruits, calling them up, getting guests on and things like that. So really a shout out to both of these guys doing a great job picking up, shows what Adam taught them and that he knows good talent. So appreciate them both. And Oliver's going to be watching the chat let us know if there's anything, and I'll try to keep track of it too. So let's just make a switch here and get back into Colorado football. And Leo, I think it's a good time to talk about this time of year is kind of recruiting season. We're done with spring football, waiting for summer to begin. In about another month, it'll be the silly season when all kinds of stupid stuff will come up because nobody's got anything else to talk to. But let me ask you this. It seems to me like there's been a real upsurge or a boost in Colorado recruiting, both in terms of commits and offers. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you got to give credit first and foremost to Coach Box and Coach Rich, who have been kind of leading that recruiting front. They've been, really active and kind of seeking out this talent from across the country and, giving out offers and making sure they're finding people that's going to fit this coaching staff and fit that mold. So, got to give credit to Coach Box and Coach Rich first and foremost, because they are the ones leading that front. But like I mentioned with Adam, it also makes a difference too when you have coaches like Coach Gunnar White, who's out there, he's getting out and he's getting into different schools. He's trying to make as much contacts as he can with the big fellas. And then you got coaches, like Brendan Marion, who kind of come from Sacramento State, where they've had to do a lot of that recruiting before, and they kind of have this personality where people want to play from. And I think a lot of it is the coordinators. You got Chris Marv on the defensive side, who's coming in, and he's bringing a lot of energy. They're youthful coaches that I think people want to play for. So I think, there's obviously those factors in it. And of course, the big man up top, Deion Sanders, I don't think he's necessarily lost that kind of mystique, even with the poor season from a year ago. That's still Deion freaking Sanders, man. So people want to play for that guy.
Well, and I think, I saw there was a couple people saying on the Stampede board that we must be spending more NIL money. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I think there's a lot more to this than just NIL. And I think Coach Prime has made it clear that the guys that are just looking for the big dollars are not the guys he's looking for, so let them go to Texas Tech and go to that green duck fraud school up there. But the kind of guys that Coach Prime is looking for are different. But I am impressed with all the commits we've had in recent weeks. What blows my mind is we're going to talk about five dudes, and they're from five different states: South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Texas, Utah, and Pittsburgh. Actually, I think that's six, isn't it? Well, yeah. Can't be held accounts for mathematics, but those are all big time football recruiting areas. So it's exciting. And I want to go back to the last thing you said. So I don't think it's just about NIL. I think one of the biggest things is Coach Prime is back and he's healthy.
Yeah.
I see people crying and pissing and moaning about last year. And I don't know, he's healthy this year. A year ago today, he had freaking cancer, man. They had to rebuild some of his organs and reroute shit inside.
Yeah.
Half the people complaining about Coach Prime wouldn't have got out of bed for 6 months, much less coach football. So I also think that Coach Prime is really an ultimate competitor. And he's one of those people that just needs to win, and he real. And I think last year that coaching staff he had let him down in a big way. when he was out. So he went out and got better guys. You know, he got better guys, like you mentioned with Marion and Marv. And I think that makes a big damn difference. So I put the most of the reason on the coaches and the new recruiting staff. But I also think one of the things is once you get a couple guys start to commit that are big time guys, other guys seem to follow. You know, people want to be in on that, and people want to play with guys that can really play.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that's a big point. You know, you can't really bypass the fact that this man was fighting for his life a year ago, right? And we know how scary those hospital visits are and those treatments when you're not sure what the future is. So I think he really had to look himself in the mirror, look at his staff, and kind of figure out what he wants for the future. And, you know, I don't think anyone would have blamed Prime if he came out and said, hey, I have cancer. I'm stepping down. I'm retiring from professional football. I'm a multimillionaire. I've done it at the highest level. I don't need this. But he does. He needs football. He loves the game, and he's passionate about these kids.
Well, and that reminds me, you know, some of the garbage that gets talked, and longtime listeners know I'm not afraid to say what's on my mind. But, you know, I see some of this stuff. Like, I've seen people say things he's ripping off CU or is not doing this or doing that. But the people that are detractors for Coach Prime, man, they are not paying attention. Or they have an agenda. I know what the agenda is. We don't need to go into that right now. But the fact is that this is a guy who's intelligent and smart. And what I've noticed about Deion Sanders and now Coach Prime is that he learns, man. He learns from his mistakes, and he moves forward and does better, you know. So I think last year really ate at him. And I think he learned some things in terms of what kind of players you got to bring in, what kind of coaches you have. And I think all that's going to pay off this year in a big way. We'll get more into that in another episode. But I do think that it starts at the top with Coach Prime. And I think we see a rejuvenated, reborn, really, you know. I mean, like you mentioned something about, you know, being in the hospital and how, I don't know what the word you use, but like kind of scary and disorienting it is. But brother, man, we spent enough time in a goddamn hospital in the last month to know exactly what you're talking about, you know. So God bless Coach Prime. I think they're doing a great job. I think we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg, and we haven't even talked about we're going to talk about six guys coming in the class of 27 who are big time dudes, and it blows me away that where these guys were committed and their offers and stuff like that. But the first guy I want to talk to you about is a big defensive tackle that's going to play for us this year, Malachi Brown. 6'5", 315, plays out of JUCO in California. And, you know, one of the things, he has 2 years to play too. He's coming in, had offers from Kansas State, Florida State, Oregon State. And my understanding is that at the end it was down to CU, Florida State, and Oregon State, and we won that battle, obviously. So go ahead.
Definitely. Yeah, I was going to say this is a huge ad for Colorado, because if we've talked about all offseason, I know you and Adam have as well, is about the lack of depth there at the defensive tackle position. We don't know still what's going on with Ezra Christian's eligibility. He might not play, and he's probably trending not to play. Knocking on wood that he will be granted that eligibility. But as of, you know, before that signing, CU was down big time. But I think you get a guy who comes in who could be a rotational player and showed a lot of flash on his, you know, huddle film. And I will say this, I got a chance to speak to the man. He's a really good character dude. You know, obviously can't say much else off of one conversation, but just the interaction, I think you can tell a lot by a person by the way they treat media and the way they respond to questions. So I was very appreciative he was able to get back with us.
Well, I see we got somebody on there that knows the dirt about you, brother. So we might have to put him on and say, tell some stories we don't know.
Oh, that's awesome, man. There we go. But, love to see that.
And kudos to you for getting on the phone with Malachi Brown. I know that's a new thing for you guys and probably kind of intimidating. But what I love about Malachi Brown, and so if people think about 2 years ago when we won 9 games and how much better the defense was, and there are a lot of things that went into that, I think. One was two outstanding inside linebackers that didn't get hurt. Next level secondary, and I think that's a fair way to put it. But one of the really overlooked things is we had a dude inside who could not be moved. And when you can't move that nose guard, man, there's a lot. It messes up your blocking schemes, and it takes away a lot of the things that you try to do on offense. So Block Bully was that guy, you know, and I think I saw in the spring game, and I might make you say this, but one guy that sort of jumped out of me in the spring game that we hadn't heard much from in the spring was Samu Taumanupepe. I think I got that.
You did. Great job. Yeah.
And you know, he came in about 370, so clearly he's got some work to do to lose some weight. But he was almost immovable in that spring game, you know. Which of course goes back to the thing I always say is it, does you know that say something about our centers? Does it say something about him? I don't know. You know, we'll find out. We'll see. He's got the size in there, and I think Malachi Brown is another one, because in the JUCO film that we're going to show here, he plays mostly a straight up nose. Well, not a straight up. Well, so for us, I'm going to talk about zero techniques and one techniques and three techniques, and people are going to be like, what the hell does that mean? So really, and I'll talk about it when we see it, but like a zero technique is straight up on the center, right? Like this, right?
Yep.
And a one technique is on one shoulder or the other shoulder of the center. And then a three technique would be on the outside shoulder of one of the guards. So basically it's an interior defensive lineman, but he played almost all that video right there on the center. So he's really your kind of prototype nose. He's not a block bully type of guy who just overpowers. I think what jumps out at me at the film is his explosiveness and athleticism. And really, we'll see plays in here where how he comes off the ball, low pads, shoots his hands, and things like that. So I like what he said. I think he said to you something about film over stats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his quote.
Yeah. And I think what he means by that is, and this goes to a fundamental misunderstanding most people have about defensive linemen, and I coach the defensive line almost as much as I coach the offensive line, and people think, because they see it in the NFL or whatever, that defensive linemen need to have big stats to be effective, and that is just not the truth. Because in most systems, the purpose of the defensive lineman is to eat up blockers and let the linebackers make the plays.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, and so there are defensive schemes that count on the defensive lineman get through gaps and getting upfield, but I don't think that's what Chris Marv plays, but we'll see. But having somebody stout inside, you know, you say, quite frankly, he had five sacks. Five sacks from a nose guard is stellar, is phenomenal. You know, it's almost unheard of. So that's some pretty good stuff, and I think we'll see it in this film. So anything else you got to say before we take a look?
No, I'll just say, you know, I think the effort in the chase definitely stood out to me as well, just the way he's hustling on these plays. It's not, you know, usual to see a big guy moving like that. He moves well. So I think let's just roll the tape.
Yeah, and the other thing I said, he plays with passion. And one thing you'll see, and I'll try to point it out, this dude understands football, and a lot of players don't, because you will see his eyes, and his eyes are always in the backfield, you know, with his hands on his blocker. Yep. Which is, that's something he's been taught, and that's a good fundamental.
Certainly.
And Oliver, just be ready to pause things and go backwards and forward. We can get this sucker rolling. And okay. Is it, we're getting a little jumpy. Is it, can we make it play a little smoother?
Might just be on our end, Bill. I'm not sure. But I guess going off that first play, I mean, he's 4 yards into the backfield before that ball is even handed off. I mean, that's just no chance to even, you know, get started on a play.
Yeah, and let's make the screen at least. Let's make the video full screen if we can, so it's a little bit bigger. And you guys got to bear with us. This is a first time attempt, so we are a work in progress on this. Oliver, you able to maximize that for us? Here, stop it right there. Go back just ahead. Go back. Take that back a little bit.
There we go.
Little before that. So right, stop. Yeah, right back where you were, just right there. Anyway, so he's lined up in a one technique off the snap here, and he's,
yep.
And Malachi Brown is the guy right in the middle. Number three is a running back. There he goes. So number three is a running back, And Malachi Brown is the guy you can see kind of peeking out right below the goalpost. So he's playing a one technique on this center. So go ahead and roll that.
Yeah, just look how low he is in his stance.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to figure out this video to get it running more smoothly. But I think what you can see is what I like right there, and if we stop it right there, he's got leverage. One of the things he does is he plays with leverage. So he's got leverage. Yeah. He's got left arm holding that guy off, and he's looking in the background to make that play. Now he gets held pretty good here. Now let me. Okay, now I'm going to do a little clinic, a little nerd stuff here, right? So this play from the offense is looks to me like it's an inside zone. So roll start it and stop it real quick. Stop. Okay, go back a little bit, but we will get this better, folks.
Working on it, guys.
Right there. So if you on a zone play, the offensive linemen are supposed to wash all their defensive linemen back. Okay. And if you look at number 77 on offense right there, and then you've got an outside linebacker or defensive lineman coming through, this running back, if you could take it back just another click. Right there. Now, okay, we will work on it. Stop right there. So look, if you see right here, right where 75 is, and then 77 is going to block that linebacker down, and the hole goes behind those two dudes. And if you watch a good zone running team, you will see that running back have the patience and the vision to see that developing, and there will be a big hole. You see the quarterback carrying out a fake, but there will be a hole there because that's how the zone works. So what really happens here is that Malachi Brown blows this up so completely that he can't get back to the hole where it's going to be. And you can see right there, that's a hole that's going to get called most times when you can see the jersey being pulled. So let's go ahead and keep on running this.
Real quick, I'm going to take it off the screen and then put it back. Hopefully okay. that helps the lag. I'm not sure why it was.
And again, bear with us a little bit. We're trying to get this to work. None of us is Adam, but one thing, Leo, I'll say, you know, we always try to play it straight and play it fair. Is the offensive lines he's going against are not good. They are not good. A lot of centers. There's a reason. Well, they may be at JUCO for a lot of reasons, but there's a missing fundamentals and missing the right footwork and things like that. But that doesn't take away to me from his pure ability, because there are times on here when you just see him explode out of his stance with a flat back and hands going. So let's go forward a little bit, see if we can run this.
Yeah, and he's doing such a great job of getting his eyes to his gap right. Super good responsibility on that play. He had, you know, the right hand free. He was posted up and just so easy to get off that block and make a tackle there.
Yeah, run. Yeah, this just freeze for a second. So there. Yeah, we're having a little trouble with this, but what I see on this last play that went with the offense and the white, if you can take it back just a little bit, is he comes off the ball with a low pad level and his hand shooting, and I really need one of those pointer things or one of those telestrators to. Let's just keep it rolling here. We'll just talk as we go through it.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. So he almost has a sack there. The guy gets rid of the ball. Now he's right in the middle. You see the arrow point at him. It's difficult to see on that play. What he does is he stands that center up and he has good leverage, and then he gets across his face to make a tackle for a loss. And he does play with passion. It takes a little bit away from it that we're getting it frame by frame. But if you look right there, he just blows this guard up like the guy wasn't even there. I think what we're missing in the ability to watch these things smoothly is the way he gets off the ball. And like you said, let me just freeze it for a second. Let me talk here. So, one of the things about coaching defensive line is, and we coach an offensive line, you win the line of scrimmage, right? So you start with the ball in the middle, and there's about a yard between you and the other guy, right? Except at the center and nose guard, which there's inches between their helmets. And so as a defensive line coach, I talk about changing the line of scrimmage. So get your hands up into their pads, stand them up, and move them backwards, or get through a gap. And especially on pass rush, if you're trying to rush somebody like on a speed rush, you want to be hip to hip with them in two steps. Otherwise, you're not going to beat them. This guy against this level of offensive line is getting hip to hip with these guys almost immediately. Now, you know, he's going to have to up, you know, he's going to go against a much higher level of talent. But I think what we're seeing here looks pretty good.
Yeah, and it's the fundamentals, right, William? It doesn't matter if, you know, you're 6'5", but you don't know how to use your hands and get off the football and you can't move. But this guy's shown a really good job about having proper technique, and that's going to translate, right? Regardless of who you're playing against, that's stuff that's going to move up towards power four, in my opinion.
Yeah. And there's a reason why Florida State and Kansas State wanted this guy so bad, you know, cause they went in and watched him and watched his film and things like that too. So, you know, with any kind of recruiting, you have to try to translate what you see onto the next level. So let's keep going here a little bit.
For sure. And the other thing too, even when he does win, he's so flat down the line, right? And what we mean by that is as soon as you break that first offensive alignment and you get in the gap, you don't want to run, you know, 4 yards down and that ball be going outside. And now you're completely putting yourself out of position. He's staying super flat and he's able to cover a lot more ground. Like on this play right here, look.
Well, that play right there, he gets a double team and he does a classic split the double team to make a big play in the backfield. So they can't even get the running game going because he's in their backfield all the time. But your point is really important because there's several plays in this film where the offense is running either a trap or a counter. What I mean by that is they pull a lineman, and the idea is that you get that lineman across from him, that defensive tackle just run upfield and get out of the play. But what you teach is getting that guy's hip pocket and run with him, you'll go right to the ball, and that's exactly what he does.
Yeah, chase those guards, man. They'll tell you where the play is going most of the time.
Yeah, no, not hard to miss this one. Let's take that one back because that's kind of fun. And you'll see, take that back and see if we can find where we are here. We're going to have to practice this next time, clearly. Go ahead and just run it. Well, I think we're going to have to do some work on our planned film here, but hopefully everybody can get an idea of what this guy is all about. I'm hoping that the huddles from the other kids are a little more smooth, but I think let's just move on.
Yeah, that's fine. And I think, you know, a couple last thoughts of, you know, maybe where Malachi comes and fits in on this current Buffalo's team. I think he definitely has a chance to, you know, compete as a rotational player. He's going to have to learn, you know, the defense, obviously. But the nice thing is that he's playing D-tackle, probably one of the easier positions to, you know, learn a scheme-wise in, I would say. So it's going to be exciting for him.
Well, and you know, we didn't see a whole lot of what Chris Marv is going to do this fall in spring ball because nobody's going to show you that. Besides, they're just teaching the basic playbook. So I think, you know, we're gonna see what he does with those defensive tackles. If he has a one technique and a three technique, which is pretty standard, but it looked like we're going to go with a four-man front. So there's lots of jobs to be had in there. And 2 years ago when we were doing so well, one of the things that worked so well for us, we played a lot of defensive linemen, which I think helped them not get hurt as much either. And I think that's what we're going to have to go to this year because we're not going to have necessarily, you know, that one guy like Block Bully, although I think, you know, some of these guys like Santana Hopper, I think are going to be big surprises. And I can't wait to see Quincy Wiggins at 300.
Yeah.
I think that Malachi Brown's going to jump right into the mix. And I'm not sure when he gets here. I don't know if he has to, I probably has to finish out this semester, but get into the weight room and get started in that program. That'll help him out too.
Definitely. Like you said, just, you know, being around the game, being in Boulder with more teammates and that competition aspect, people are going to be hungry. They're going to want to see the field. So many new transfer guys, right? And it kind of opens up the whole, all right, I need the best three to rise to the top. So it makes it fun. Competition's good for any team.
Yeah, and I think that that goes back to also one of the things that Coach Prime learned this year is that you have to bring in a certain type of guy, and you have to bring in guys that are competitors and love the game and are going to fight and work as hard as they can, but work together. So one of the things he has to do is mesh with everybody that's already there, not only on his playing level, but as on a personal level. So I think he's going to be a great addition. You know, you can't coach 6'5", 315. And we needed more size. So I think that was a huge addition. So let's move on. We're going to talk now about some high school commits that we've had so far this fall. And I think we're going to start out with a four-star safety, Gabe Jenkins.
Gabe is a top 10 ranked player in the – Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Wrong list I was looking at. But, you know, his skill set, what he's able to offer when he comes in is insane. All right. He's able to play the ball. He'll cover the entire field if you let him. He'll kind of start in the center. He'll play all the way out to the boundary. And he's just fast, really good feet, really good eyes. He's able to go out and seek the ball. And I believe he's also playing quarterback as well, which is even more insane.
Yeah, I mean, this is a kid at 6'1", 190, so he's got that size. Comes out of Pittsburgh, has the offer from Penn State and Pitt and turned them all down, had an offer from Indiana, turned that down, turned down Michigan. He was a tailback, I think, had 1,300 rushing yards. So he's one of those guys that just can do a little bit of everything. I think it's interesting that in this last group of commits, we had three different defensive backs. And I think that, you know, obviously you would think Coach Prime would lean heavily into that position being his position, but I think they're really starting to try to restock that secondary room. So Gabe Jenkins, I think, is a guy who's really exciting. 22 Power Four offers, like I said, including Penn State, Pitt, Indiana, Michigan. You mentioned who on the staff was instrumental in getting him here.
Well, you got Brendan Marion, who obviously has that Pittsburgh connection. He's a Pittsburgh boy, so that's really, you know, huge first and foremost. But Rashad Rich was actually at Penn State previously, and he was the one actually recruiting him and got him the offer to Penn State. And then when he transferred over to Colorado this past offseason to come into the recruiting department, you know, he was definitely one of the first guys that he kind of was adamant about bringing into Colorado and getting an offer. And no surprise there, he was able to get the commitment.
Yeah, and it also helps that he was there and has, you know, had a history with the kid and seen him play eyes on in person. So I think that's you talk about the improved recruiting staff, and I think this is where it's starting to pay off. You know, I'm trying to pull up that list of those coaches, but I think it's going to be exciting to see what this new recruiting staff does. And, you know, you bring in a guy from Penn State, clearly he knows how to play the game at the highest level. So can we see if we can play Gabe Jenkins' video, see if that works a little better for us?
Yeah, it's on the tape. Yeah, this is him at tailback to start. I mean, direct snap, straight into the end zone. What more do you want? Kind of interesting with some of these two-way players, man. They like to put their offensive highlights first and then, you know, see who's recruiting them on the defensive side. It's kind of interesting.
You said he played quarterback, and there he is, but a lot of the guys who have that kind of ability, it's not surprising sometimes to see them wind up on the other side of the ball doing something. And I think everybody's waiting to see that next Travis Hunter, the guy playing both ways. And you know, this guy is as good a threat to do that as anyone.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly, you know, what his offensive prowess will be at CU. I'd like to think they'll probably just keep him at defensive back. I think they got enough in that quarterback room right now.
Well, yeah, I think it'd be probably a tailback, but yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think I think we're pretty loaded on the offensive side, still looking for guys for the future, but always looking for a safety that can come in and control the back of the defense and make plays.
Certainly. And I know we're going to get into more of his defensive highlights here shortly. He liked to throw the offensive stuff in first.
Yeah.
But still, just being able to compete.
Not that we can – oh, my bad. I was going to say, not that we can see much, but should I try and skip ahead, try and find some of those defensive clips?
Well, yeah. We're right here. I think we're back on defense now, are we? Nope, never mind. My bad. Yeah, we can skip ahead.
Let me skip ahead. Let's see.
And again, we apologize. We're going to get better at this, folks. We don't have the long history of doing this that Adam does, so we're trying to make him proud and do the best we can. But
yeah, Adam Munsterteyer was so smart. He was so smart.
Yeah, hey, I think this tape may just be all offense.
Can we go to his main page?
Here's some defense. Yeah,
there
defense.
We go.
Okay.
There we go. I think he's like been flipping it, and it's hard because it's cutting, and we kind of get these big jump cuts, but he's kind of been mixing them in. Yeah, so look at him, you know, playing over top of the slot right here. Yeah. Physical hands. Just a dog.
Yeah, it looks like he's almost going every other play as offense to defense.
Yeah, correct. And he can play multiple positions in that secondary too. Like, he's not afraid to get out and, you know, slot or any, wherever the defense kind of needs him. That's why I feel like his addition to Colorado is really huge, because I think that's what, you know, this coaching staff's kind of been going after. Guys who can play multiple positions, guys who are kind of, you know, football players and not necessarily position players, if that makes sense. They're getting people who are able to come in and, you know, fill a multitude of needs.
Yeah, and Gabe Jenkins is a guy that can play either safety or the nickel, quite frankly. Yeah. With his physicality, he'd be vicious up in the nickel against the run game. So I think he brings a lot to the table.
Yeah, I personally agree with you there, William, and having him as more of like a nickel, because I think, you know, his tackling ability is just so needed. And the physicality, he's going to come up and hit. So you got to respect that.
Yeah, and I think back to Adam and I watching the video of Preston Ashley as a high school senior, and both of us just kind of in awe and every play. Like, that was the most impressive. You know, I was talking to you about, like, you know, my expertise is offense, defensive line, tight end, linebackers. I don't claim to have any knowledge of defensive back or receiver, the quarterback. Like, people say, hey, quarterback got a quick release. I don't know what the hell that means, but when I see it, it's like I know it when I see it. And you watch a guy like Preston Ashley, and it's exciting because everything he does, offense and defense, is just game breaking. So I think Gabe Jenkins is another guy like that. He was a 90 rated four star. He is a 90 rated four star. So that's exciting as well. So let's tell everybody we're going to go through. Here's the people we're going to take a look at. We're going to take a look at defensive back Will Rasmussen, cornerback Prince Washington. Will Rasmussen is out of Utah, which is exciting because people have been saying we got to steal kids from them. But Prince Washington comes out of Texas. Barack Willis is a linebacker edge guy from Alabama. LaMarcus Jones is a 6'5", 300-pounder, a.k.a. Bug, which I love that. LaMarcus Bug Jones. And then Jaden Calamari is a wide receiver out of South Carolina. We're going to talk more about these guys at this point, but we wanted to give you a little heads up, and then we're going to go into our first ad read.
Let's do it.
When one layer isn't enough, we go deeper. Actually, Taco Bell, they go triple. Introducing the Triple Double Crunchwrap. Premium all-white meat marinated chicken seasoned with bold Mexican spices and tossed in a crunchy tortilla chip coating and dusted with bold, flavorful Diablo spice seasoning, served with spicy ranch sauce. And because we couldn't stop there, pair it with Zab's nacho fries. Golden, crisp nacho fries, savory, slow-roasted chicken, warm nacho cheese, freshly prepared pico de gallo, creamy ranch that is infused with Zab's St. Augustine sauce, and a blend of mozzarella, pepper jack, and cheddar cheese. This isn't just a meal. It's a full-on flavor experience. More layers, more flavor, more reasons to be back again at Taco Bell. Because at Taco Bell, they don't do average. They do extra. Triple, double, Crunchwrap, and only at...
All right, now the end of that video is Adam, because that's the song playing over his stuff. So that's not us. But I love playing that ad because that gets to see our guy again. And we are going to keep those ads because I think Liz actually, Liz Monster Tigers is going to reach out to this, to our three sponsors and see if they're going to stay on this. But there are questions to be resolved on the legal side of everything, how it turns over and all that. So we'll wait and see on all that sort of stuff. But we appreciate you all bearing with us a little bit. I think part of, you know, so another thing, we're going to show you a little video that Liz Monster Tiger put together of I guess what we call bloopers or outtakes of Adam at the end of this podcast. And I think you're going to see there was a rapport and a chemistry between me and Adam and between Brian and Adam that comes with time. Yeah. And me and Leo are going to get that. Now he's probably afraid to make fun of me or poke me because I kick his backside. And, you know, so, you know, we just had to develop that. And, you know, like the whole thing, the whole Dan Lanning stuff sort of developed on its own because of something that happened, and other things will happen and we'll roll with that too. So we're going to get better at this. What we're trying to do right now is kind of give you a heads up on what I think is a very exciting developments in recruiting. And so let's get back into that a little bit. And we're going to also, if you're out there in chat and you'd like to get on here and ask us anything, we're going to have a period for that. We're going to keep that. We thought that went really well in the tribute to Adam on Wednesday. And we're going to try and do that again today. So if you want something, if you want to get on here and talk to us, let Oliver know in the back room and we'll make that happen. So, Liz doing great. She's, you know, lot to be figured out, obviously, as you know, with three kids and everything changing like this, but she's hanging in there like a trooper. So let's get back and let's talk about, Will Rasmussen, Leo. Another defensive back, 5'10", 180. You look at those numbers there, 116 tackles, 4 tackles for losses, 4 interceptions, 39 pass breakups, and not the sort of prototypical prime cornerback where you like to have those 6'1 guys, but this guy's got everything you need. What I love is he comes from out of Orem, Utah, which is prime Utah and BYU country, and we just snatched him away. So I think that's a big pickup all the way around.
It is. You're getting into enemy territory with that recruiting there, William, which I kind of like. You know, why not go pick off these players and assert dominance, especially in this Rocky Mountain region? I know we've talked about the Colorado recruiting as well. That's a whole different story. But, you know, to see them in Utah is really awesome. And when you talk about this, you know, guy and Will, the tackle stand out as a cornerback, because that's not, you know, one thing a lot of people will think about with a defensive back, but Coach Prime's thinking about that. I'll tell you that for sure, especially looking at, you know, last year. I don't want to knock on the players too much, but defensive back tackling was putrid. It was really bad.
Yeah. And you think about the year prior, first of all, okay. I mean, let's start and give them this. We had like a superhero at one corner, right? Okay. And I still think back on things Travis Hunter did, and I can't believe I saw that with my own lying eyes. But and then, you know, we had really good corners on the other side, and we had safeties that would just come up and rack you. So we got to get back to that and get that back. So I think he's restocking that backfield. But you know, there are a lot of good things about Will Rasmussen. He got really good recovery speed, change of direction, good instincts. So he's also another guy that hits and comes up and runs support. So I think he's going to be here. Here's one thing that jumped out at me about Will Rasmussen. He wears number zero in high school. Oh, doesn't Coach Prime still have the rule? There's no zeros.
I believe so. I haven't seen anyone with zero yet. So
yeah. And I think you got to earn the number one. So I don't know. I might have to get a different number coming up to see you. But we're going to try again. We're going to keep trying these videos and see.
Yeah, we're going to run the film.
They play a little bit better for us. At the very least, we're going to run Bug Jones because that's like a highlight film of muggings.
Yeah. Oliver, is this Gabe Jenkins' film still?
Yeah, that's actually Gabe Jenkins. Yeah. My fault.
Yeah, and if you guys
I'll grab my football. I'll just run around a little bit. You know, we'll improvise. All right, now I gotta wait for this ad.
Goodness. No, all good. But in the meantime, I'll say this, guys. Oliver actually got to do an interview with Will as well. So if you haven't, you know, got the opportunity yet to go check out that, you know, he's been busting his tail trying to help out as much as possible with the football stuff. And we got some good content coming this week, I think. We've been trying to do, you know, interviews like William has been saying. So shout out Oliver Hayes because he is working his tail off to try to – he's trying to master what Adam mastered over the course of years and a weekend. So
– And, hey, Oliver, run tell that series in the chat is a really good idea. Let's drop the huddle link so people can watch it on their own if they want to.
Yeah, I'll add that to the description. I'll make sure that's all updated. But let's see if this video works.
Okay. A little better.
Yeah, this one's poor camera work for sure. But being able to go up over, you know, two guys and snatch an interception like that and high point the ball, that's just impressive. You like him be able to come out here and just run the sideline, you know, hand on hip, very physical off the line of scrimmage with his jam. Good technique.
Listen to you, man. The lineman, hand on hip, stuff like that. No DB tech words.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I'm not a DB technician, but I've been around the game, thankfully enough, with some really phenomenal coaches and people who kind of helped me, you know, build my knowledge. But again, he has a variety of playing press and kind of playing back more often like zone in his film, which is really awesome to see because he's versatile again with all these guys. You know, come up, use your hands, and you know, he could play off and play press too. And look at this, Oski going the other way. He's also got that speed too. I mean, look at him accelerating with the ball in his hands after the interception. Playmakers. Yes.
What I like about him, what's very clear on this film is that he's very able to change things up as plays change. He's not just like if he starts to backpedal, he's not stuck there. He can change and adapt to what happens in the play.
Correct. That change of direction really matters.
Yeah. Which, especially, you know, backwards and forward. I still remember all the times Travis Hunter made an interception on the guy somebody else was covering.
It's ridiculous, like what Travis Hunter was able to do. I still think about that sometimes. But look at this one right here. Just good job. And he even got the tackling highlights up in it. Look at this, taking good angles, not giving up on the play. That's a really big, you know, tell of a guy who loves the game of football is how much effort do you show when things are hard, when, you know, there's a guy on the opposite side of the field that you weren't covering that made the catch. Are you going to turn around and hustle after him, or are you going to throw your hands up in the air and give up?
Well, and I've been noticing that on all the film of all the defensive players that we've been recruiting is that they're big hustle guys. So like you saw, I saw plays where Malachi Brown at 6'5", 300 is 30 yards down the field making a play on some guy. When most defensive linemen put their hands on their hips at that point and just stand there, right? You know, so I think
for sure.
Really a really key thing that they're looking for is that hustle and that play to the end kind of attitude for defensive players. And I think that Chris Marv, I think, is going to have a whole different attitude for this defense in terms of pursuit. You know, and whatever you think of Livingston, he, in my view, was a back end of the defense coordinator, where Marv is a front end of the defense coordinator, and I like that a lot better, you know. So it all starts with the lineman and the linebacker. So having a coach up with that long better, I think.
Yeah. Okay. It always starts up front for sure. That's kind of the old adage. Also, shout out Big Mike. I know Oliver threw his comment up there, but he said, "Have a blessed and wonderful Sunday." everyone have a blessed and wonderful week, man. We put in positive energy. You know, chat, you guys have been awesome. I've been reading these comments. You know, seems like you guys are, you know, really engaged and showing appreciation. So we're thankful for that. And I know Liz is too.
So Will Rasmussen, I think, is he's out of all the guys that got committed in the last couple of weeks, he's kind of the one people are less excited about, but I think they should be. You know, I think people see four-star this and four-star that and whatever, and then they forget about the other guys who can play, you know. So Will Rasmussen, I think, is a great addition to the defense. And then let's talk about our last defensive back here. I love this kid's name, Prince Washington. Out of Lamar High School in Texas. And I was trying to think, and you're not going to be able to help me with this because you're only 10 years old, Leo, but
back,
one of those guys from back in the 80s, the H boys, went to Lamar High School in Houston with Canavis and Alfred and Arthur Walker. I think one of them did. But anyway, just a little bit of trivia there.
There we go.
But Prince Washington is more in that mold that Coach Prime's looking for, that 6'1", 190 guy playing down there in Houston, which is big-time football, you know. So you see all those stats. And, again, I think Prince Washington not going to have the offers and the rating that we see from some of these other guys that we're going to talk about here in a minute. But this guy is every bit as good of a player as they are. Working on,
yeah, for sure. William, you've been talking about kind of the recruiting areas and like the different states and the variety. Well, now we're back in the big Texas. You know, this is one of the, I think, top three states in the whole country for recruiting football if we're just talking nationally. Yeah. So getting a guy from Texas who's playing elite competition, who's going to be playing good wide receivers and having good coaching, it matters. Where you play matters. So that's going to be another great addition.
Absolutely. Well, and somebody on the chat, Brittle 620, says the crystals are nice. We just need them a verbal. Everybody we're talking about today is a verbal commit.
Yeah. Well, someone was asking about what we thought about the crystal balls a little earlier. So maybe we can get with those later. But also Southside D says Vince Young went to Lamar High School. So there you go. There's kind of some history there. Thank you.
And Brittle 620 also mentioned, he says, seems like there's no plays off with Chris Marv. And I think that's true. And I've heard people talk about Chris Marv and people at Virginia Tech didn't like his last year there or whatever. Let me tell you something, folks. If we'd have had the kind of numbers the last 2 years that Chris Marv had at Virginia Tech those last 2 years, we'd be ecstatic. So really, really excited to see it. So a little bit, let's see if we can see a little bit about Prince Washington video here. I love his size. And like you said, big time football, the more you're seeing big time players, the more ready you are to move up to this level.
For sure. And he, you know, he's just out there again right here, goal line. This is a really big interception because you're talking about taking away points off the board for the offense, right? And when you're able to get turnovers in the red zone, that's a huge game changing play.
Yeah, and as I mentioned there, he's going against a guy who's being recruited pretty heavily at wide receiver.
Yeah, he made sure to put it up there, too. That's kind of what I like as well, the confidence. He's going to name drop. He ain't afraid.
Well, you know, I mean, that really, you want to show people that you're going against good competition, you know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times it's hard with the offensive defensive linemen because, you know, it's hard to find powerful offensive defensive linemen, so they're not going to play against them every play. You got a lot more wide receivers who can play at this level and have some speed and some moves. So defensive backs tend to, I think, get better competition all the way around.
Yeah. And what's been interesting about these last two breakups, too, is these are deep balls that he's defending, man. These are, you know, nine routes, what we call them, goes, or, you know, he's just really having to get on his horse and get out there and cover some speed. So really shows his athleticism there.
How many nine routes did you run as an offensive tackle, Leo?
Zero. You know what? We did have a couple screens where I got to go out in a lead block out in the secondary. So I got to take out a couple corners a few times. So yeah, that was always fun.
That's always fun. See, I like right there where he's right where he needs to be without getting a pass interference and breaks up that touchdown, makes the interception.
Yeah. Right here again, you know, only two completed passes, five incompletions. Talk about stuff, that's, young buck.
Yeah, that's in one game, obviously, seven targets against him again in that game. And I think, you know, he's a guy, you know, at 6'1", 190, that pretty quickly other teams are going to figure out throw the other side, you know, because very few high schools are going to have two corners like him.
Yeah, for sure. And that's such an advantage. You saw it with Travis Hunter 2 years ago. When you have someone who's able to lock up an entire side of the defense, it makes it so much easier as a coordinator and, you know, as a pass rush and stuff, knowing you have a little more security, knowing you have that extra half second if you're a rusher to get that quarterback to swipe at that arm and make a game-changing play.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, teams – football is a funny game, you know. If somebody's doing big things, it feeds into everybody else, especially on defense, and the rest of the defense wants to push that a little bit as well. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be exciting coming in this year, but we'll take another couple of plays here.
Yeah. I think the video's been going a lot. Alik's clear, just kind of letting it run like this. So, good job, Oliver. Thank you.
Yeah, that's been all neat.
Prince Washington, another guy not afraid to come up and hit, and with his size, you wouldn't be surprised to see that.
Yeah, and that's the theme, you know, William. We've kind of been talking about it with this class of what are the kind of players Colorado's looking for. Can you play press? Can you play zone? Can you tackle? Those are kind of the big three things. And then I would say the fourth one is, can you, you know, go get the ball? Can you be a playmaker and attack it in the air? I think those are kind of the traits that I've been noticing out of these defensive backs. You know, obviously being a lineman here, I'm going to take that with a grain of salt. Sorry, don't attack us for all you skinnies, I like to call you guys.
I got a different term. I won't use it this time. It's not, but that's okay. I love you guys. Let's go ahead and we'll watch one more play here. Let's move on to our next guy. We're going to start looking at a couple big guys up front.
Yeah, we're going to get down into the trenches here now, which is more of our forte here. But let's look at this punt return. Oh, and blocking his tail off down here.
Yeah.
Love it. Mix in all the kind of different plays. Can you play football? Yes. Check it off.
Maybe play wide receiver for Brandon Marion, which I'm very, very excited to see him because he's very clear that if you don't block a wide receiver, you will not get on the field. So I'm looking forward to seeing that because, you know, football to me, you know, they say they call football a contact sport. It's a damn gladiator sport, man. It's a collision sport, and I don't collision. Think you understand how much of that there is if you're not right down there on the sideline. So, it's a violent sport, man. There's just no way around it. You know, you got to have guys that are willing to come out there and get after it.
Yeah, you can't be afraid of contact, especially going into the Power Four and a conference like the Big 12 when you got teams like BYU, you got teams like Utah and Texas Tech, who historically they're going to bank and they're going to be physical and they're going to have recruited the biggest, strongest offensive linemen, defensive linemen to come out and hit. You can't be afraid. There is no room for scared football. And if you're timid, go home, right? The pride and tradition of the Colorado Buffaloes will not be entrusted to the timid or the weak.
There you go. Look at that guy, man. He's throwing out the Bill McCartney stands and everything.
Yeah.
You know, the one Bill McCartney thing I remember is in practice he would carry a yardstick with him, and the one thing I remember from so many practices Coach McCartney was, do it again, and you could hear it all over the field. You know, and you're going to keep running the same damn thing until you got it right, as far as he saw it. So, let's move on to our next guy, and this is an exciting one to me, and I'm going to start out with, this guy was committed to Alabama, okay. Which I think is a big damn deal. And he comes from Alabama, Pell City High School in Alabama. Barack Willis, 6'2", 6'2½", probably 6'3" by the time he gets there. 6'3", 235, and he's an edge right now. But I think he's a guy that can play inside as well.
Well, he dang well sure can, William. We're going to see that on his highlight reel as well. But he is truly a guy who could play both linebacker positions, whether it's outside or inside, which, again, as a defensive play caller, that just opens up so much more when you have that flexibility to, you know, bring a guy down or tell him he can, you know, cover and play the run. So really exciting to see his commitment.
Well, he's got some of that old school thumper inside linebacker mentality, but he's got the athleticism, you know, for the modern era of football as well.
Yeah.
I mean, You're not committed to Alabama at linebacker unless you can play.
Correct. And I'll say, unbiasedly, this is probably one of my favorite prospects, just looking at pure athleticism and what he's able to do from the defensive side of the ball. I think this is a real impact player, and Colorado really needs to keep him and make sure this guy signs, you know, come end of season, his senior season.
Let's take a look, see what we can see here.
Yeah. I like how he's got ring season on there too. You know, chasing championship wins, that winning culture, it carries on.
Right. Looks like it, doesn't he? Looks the part.
Yes, he does. And this first play is going to be him at linebacker too as well. So peep in the middle of the field.
Yeah, it's too bad. You know, the film crawl, it's always much better if we can get a high angle. There we go. And now he's playing pretty much a mic right there.
Yep. TFLs.
Reads that play and just gets right after it. You know, your best inside. So pause it for a second. Let me talk for a second about linebackers, okay, and for people out there. Hopefully I'm not going to bore everybody with my football insider stuff, but I love this stuff. So when you're an outside linebacker, there's two reads, right? Well, okay, there's two reads. It's pass or it's run, okay? If it's pass, you rush the passer unless you're in a defensive calls for you to drop back. If it's run, yeah. The next thing is it coming to me or is it going away from me?
Away.
Very simple, right? At middle linebacker, it's like standing on I-25 in the middle lane and reading all those cars coming at you and figure out which, you know, how to get around them and make a play, right? And so inside linebackers are guys who can process a lot of information very quickly and make decisions. And what happens a lot of times with inside linebackers is they freeze up, right? And even if it's half a second, if you're half a second behind, you're a whole play behind, right? So a guy like this, on this particular play, man, he reads this thing instantly and he gets in there and makes that tackle, you know, because he's going to make that tackle about 7 yards away from where he's standing right now.
Yeah, this is a great, you know, we have it up on the screen. This is a great point. They become green dots. And if you're a guy who could recognize and communicate and be intelligent, you're going to get that responsibility. And that is a high honor.
And for those who don't know, because the green dot is a new thing last year, one player on each side can have a radio in their helmet, and it's signified by the green dot.
Almost correct. And that's
almost always going to be quarterback on offense. Three. Sure. See now, and I wish we had these a little more smoother, because what you saw right there was a lot of linebackers want to take extra steps, right? The best linebackers, and I saw this spring from Tyler Martinez. They're not messing around with their feet. They're standing and they're reading and then they go. You know?
Correct. You know? No false steps, is what they call it. You just pick your feet up for no reason.
Because the offense is always trying to mess you up, always trying to do misdirection. So stop it right there if you can. Let's take that right back and just stop it right there. Yeah, just hold it right there. So again, linebacker 101. Linebacker school is in, everybody. Okay. So our guy Barack is the middle linebacker right here, and he's right behind that left tackle. Now, his defensive line clearly is not that big, but your typical read from an inside linebacker is through the guard to the running back. So you're looking at the guard on your play side to see where they go, and then you're looking at the running back to see where he goes. And what the offense is always trying to do is trick you. Okay, so they'll have the running back go one way and the guard pull on me. So like they used to have what we call an influence trap where they pull somebody and they don't run behind it, right? So
yeah,
as a linebacker, he's looking through the guards to the running back and he's got to make those decisions almost instantaneously. And that's where the film study comes in. So here, I think this is a called blitz, but go ahead and run it. Oh, so he's blitzing up the middle and he actually realized the ball is thrown and changes direction and comes back.
Yeah, look at that. He realizes something was up. It's a screen call. You know, it looked like the offensive line is trying to bait everybody upfield. Offense did a good job of probably recognizing that pressure was coming. And he said, whoa, 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 that's too easy, you know.
Because he's got his eyes on that quarterback the whole time, and he realizes he's right behind him, so gets back there to break that thing up. So that's really good awareness. You know, I always used to teach the defensive linemen, if you get you off the ball and they don't try to block you, that's a sucker punch, man.
Yeah.
And turn your ass around and run the other way because they're trying something on you. If they're not blocking you, there's a reason.
For sure.
Here he is at the outside.
Still on the edge. Don't run outside.
And he's got that size to be able to do that. You know, he saw it took on a tight end there and just whipped him. Gets around the outside on that one for a speed rush. He's really got the whole package. He's got the size and the strength to take on tight ends.
Man, he's a complete player.
Yeah, he's got the speed to come off that rush. Oh, boy. So we're going to run this one back. This move right here.
That was dirty.
Well, stop it right there. This is what we call a push-pull, right? You get up onto that pads and you get them like this, and then you just chuck them, you know? Push-pull. Oh, that is as well executed as I've seen it at the high school level right
Well,
there.
Yeah, look at the offensive lineman face first on the ground. Yeah. Just no idea what's happening. He's embarrassed. Jeez. This one looks like he did it on a tight end.
Well, yeah, so go back to this one because this one, he does an outside move with a hand slap and then does an inside move. So he's very well coached. And he's actually he's clearly very, very well coached, very technically sound here, both at outside and inside linebacker. So let's just keep it rolling here. Outside linebacker here.
Back to the middle. Yeah. It's very interesting. Kind of, I wonder what their coaching staff kind of decided how to use him. Like, if it was just like a by game thing, or if it was like personnel wise, or what. But to see him be able to play, you know, middle and outside is again just so good for Colorado's defense and Chris Marv. Like, Chris Marv's got to be licking his chops at this guy.
Well, here he's. Now they're running a 4-3, and he's actually the outside linebacker, stand up outside linebacker 5 yards off the ball and plays that. So
yeah.
This is a whole different thing though. Oh man. See, I'm gonna take that back for me a second. I'm gonna get nerd like again.
Okay? Let's do it.
Stop it right there. So one of the things in linebacker, when you're playing a three or two linebackers, your middle linebacker is your lead guy for the most part, right? And so there's a thing that they teach them. It's called truck trailer, right? So you know how a truck goes first and then the trailer comes after it, right? So watch this middle linebacker go up into this hole, and he's going to follow him right over there. And the purpose for that is if the lead linebacker closes the hole and the second linebacker closes the backside where he can leak out, right? But he's going toward that size, and he realizes that it's a misdirection. It's coming back, and he changes direction and comes back and make this thing a tackle for no gain.
Yeah, and that's just trusting his rules. He's coming down. He's on a clear path. He's got his eyes, avoids the block, makes a tackle.
It's because if you watch that again, run it one more time, Oliver, everybody goes to that left side. Everybody. Look at that offense. Everybody. And the only dude who catches it is Barack. And he's like, nope, not having it. And that's, you know, and most high school outside linebackers are just going to run down that play the other side, and that's why that play works on offense.
Correct.
I can't tell you how impressive this is to me, frankly. So, you know, everybody thinks that you watch a film and what you want to see is people getting blown up and stuff like that, but it's things like this that make a guy stand out to you.
Yeah, and I'll just say this. Amari Sanders, that Vanderbilt commit, he's another dog at linebacker. They're able to flip him, man. Woo! But we'll probably get into that maybe Wednesday's show, if we're doing a Wednesday show.
Now, there again, if you take this one back, you watch. He sort of settles down in there, little choppy feet, and he doesn't commit to either side, okay? Sitting, waiting for somebody to cross his face on a pass route. And then the quarterback takes off, and look at the closing speed to get out there and take that down. At 235, he's got the speed and then he starts from almost a dead stop, and so his acceleration and closing speed is just beautiful right there. Now, you know, clearly there's going to be probably a higher level athlete, a quarterback at our level, but it still, I think it still translates. So it's still pretty exciting. I think this kid's a super exciting commit. And, you know, he's just on the edge of being a 4-star. He's an 88 level commit, 88 rating. So just on the edge of a 4-star guy.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, we could probably go ahead and wrap this one up, Oliver, just for, you know, time's sake. I think we got two more commits, but possibly an ad break.
Hey, let me tell you something, Mr. Leo.
Yeah.
I would watch that film all damn day. Just to watch little things like that and nerd out on football techniques. And that defense is well coached, man.
Yeah.
So that's fun for me to watch. So, but we got to move on because we're going to show a film right now. Everybody get your popcorn, and I'm going to put up a PG rating because this video you're going to watch is just a series of muggings. This is LaMarcus Bug Jones, 6'5", 300. And what he does to these dudes is illegal in 15 states. If it wasn't on a football field, he'd get arrested. So this to me, when I watch an offensive lineman film in high school, this is what I want to see because you ought to be dominating that level the way he does here. Okay. Let's talk a little bit. He's a 4-star guy, 6'5", 6'6", 300. And I counted up, he got 17 Power 4 offers, including Alabama and Oregon. And he's coming to be a Buff, man. He got throwing up the Buffalo horn there and the whole nine yards. And at the end of the day, he chose CU over Purdue and Mississippi State. And I think he talked to you or somebody, and he said he just connected with Gunnar Jones or Gunnar White, you know. And I think Gunnar White has proven to be a hell of a coach, both on the field and in recruiting. You know, I had real question marks about hiring him as that offensive line coach. But I think those three guys are doing a really good job teaching technique, and I think they're doing a really damn good job recruiting.
You know, I'll show a lot of love to that offensive line coaching staff real quick, just because all four of those guys have been really respectful to me in my time. You know, they've been really willing to answer questions. And like I mentioned earlier, Gunnar White's on that recruiting trail, man. He's hitting that really hard. He's been really trying to help get as many players as possible. He was there in the house of the younger brother of Yamil Tlaib. So he's out there on this recruiting trail, or was, you know, this offseason. But yeah, he's from Mississippi. He has those Mississippi ties to, you know, Bug Jones, who was also from, you know, the Jackson area, which, you know, Coach Prime was at Jackson State. So there's a lot of little connections there. But man, was this a big time get.
Well, and the other thing about those three coaches, if we're going to just riff off what you said, is between George Hegeman and Andre Giroux, you got 20 years of NFL experience. Now, granted, not every guy that plays well, you know, at the next level turns into a great coach, okay? Because some guys, you know, so I had a guy, and we're going to go back into old Bill stories here, so everybody settle down. When I was in high school, we had a dude coach the wide receivers, and he was a former NFL player. And he was not a good coach because he did not understand why our dudes couldn't do what he could do. Right. We say, I just showed you how to do it. Well, damn, coach, we're not NFL players, man. You know, Andre Giroux is one of the best centers in the history of the NFL. So, you know, but what I love about him is he gets in there and he gets down and teaches the nitty gritty of the technique. You know, I watched this spring and the footwork is good and the handwork is good. And he's doing a good job teaching those guys. And so is George Hegeman. So I'm really kind of excited. And this is the first time in well over a decade that we've had all of our offensive line coaches back. And that kind of continuity matters, man. So
it matters big. And I even got to listen to, you know, Coach Hegeman speak at a coach's clinic this past spring, you know, one of my first as a high school coach. And a lot of the fundamentals, the things he's talking about looking for an offensive lineman, just from, you know, my own thought process and my own experience playing the sport, I agreed with damn near everything you said. Like, this is a super knowledgeable staff. And, you know, also, got to shout out Grant Hammer, the little assistant. He's a young guy like me. You can't be forgetting the young guys. He's in there trying to learn stuff, too. So, shout out those four.
Well, and the other thing, so, you know, I mean, I coached offensive line and defensive line for a long time, and that's where my heart is. And so, I love Brandon Marion because he runs an offensive line-friendly system. And what I mean by that is the last 3 years, we have run a system which asked our offensive linemen to pass block for 4 seconds. Half the time while three wide receivers ran to the same damn spot on the field. Just added that in as my own segue. But what I love about Brendan Marion's offense is that he simplified it, right? The run game is based off of zone concepts. Right?
Yeah.
You're going to start with zone. And if you teach zone blocking correctly, it's the most beautiful thing to watch from behind. Everybody's in sync. They've got the same footwork, the same hands, and they just roll guys down the field, you know? And then what he does off of it, he's running a triple option just like the wishbone.
Yeah.
You know, just like the wishbone, except with a pass, you know, the third option is there's always two run options and there's a pass option, right? So, you know, back in the Marine Corps, we used to say, that guy doesn't know whether to shit or go blind. And hopefully that's what the offenses are thinking, or our defenses are thinking against our offense, you know? So he's made it. And we've heard a lot of this out of spring, like, you know, my guy, Yaya, man, he's talking about this offense is great. And what he means is they get to get off the ball and run into people, which is what offensive linemen want to do, man. You know, knock the crap out of people. So they're going to get off the ball and just tee off on dudes, you know, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch and a lot of fun to play. And then the passing game is set up so that the, oh my God, hey, Les, you're throwing me off here. I can't the passing game in this offense is going to be built off the run game. So the passes are going to be out within 3 seconds, right? Yeah. So you don't have to have so everybody last year when Jordan Seaton left, crying, yelling, screaming, oh my God, ripped her hair out. See, look, it ripped it all out. But I said from day one, losing him, not a big deal. Okay. And here's why. Because this offense does not need a premium left tackle. Okay. So you're not going to pay the money to have a premium left tackle when you can get by with a good left tackle, which we got. So, and see how far off the track we got here, talking about Bug Jones. But I think when you all see this video, you're going to understand my excitement.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's worth the excitement. He's going to fit in well. Are we doing a commercial break before the video, Oliver Hayes?
No, I can't wait for it. Let's show some violence for the kids. This is America, man. Violence before
this is America. Murder. Yes.
And he's left tackle, so he's the guy closest to you on the line.
Yeah, look at him. He's got defensive highlights in here too, as well. So this is gonna be in a sack.
Yeah. We're going to have to get these things smoothed out because you just can't see it. So you see him on the left side of the line there. He's the ginormous dude. You kind of see that one where he got up underneath that guy.
Buried him.
Basically, every play, he's taking on a guy and driving him 5 yards down the field and putting him on their back.
I mean, look at that. That guy's whole right foot is off in the air off the first punch. The first punch, William.
Yeah, I wish they had more. So there you can see that a little better. We're going to have to get this figured out on this video because we're not doing him justice on this. Because you watch this full speed and I hope Oliver will put those links in here. You got to watch. You don't have to know offensive line play to see this. Okay.
No, this is four plays in a row where he is on top of another person. And he's got, you know, I mean, like you said, that's illegal in 15 states. If you're not on the football field, William,
The first four plays in that video, I really wish we could get this screen big and show them smooth, because it's as pure dominating run blocking as I've ever seen. This is the film you expect to see for a power four guy. Okay, no matter what position, you want him to dominate like this.
Yeah, I mean, again, just look how he de-cleats these guys, man. Oh my goodness.
Well, stop right tackle. Take it back and stop it right there. Just a little further. Get him down in his stance and then freeze it. Okay, stop it right there. You may not, unless you know offensive line, you probably don't see it, okay? This is a 6'6 dude, and his back is flat. His butt is down. He's bent. at the knees and the elbows and the hips, and he's down there with a flat back. This is a big damn deal because dudes this tall can't all do that, okay? And that shows the flexibility this guy has and what they call a knee bender, which is one of the biggest things. People think size is the main thing for an offensive lineman, and certainly you got to have a certain amount of size at this level, but it's athleticism that matters, okay? And when I used to teach offensive linemen and tackles the game who were coming up to this level, you know, I said, now, look, you're probably the best athlete on your team. That will never happen again. So you got to learn technique now, man. Okay. And you got to trust it. But just being able to see him getting that stance like that is exciting to me. It shows me a little bit about him. So let's just run that. There you go. Right. Teach a film on how to maul somebody. And what I love is, here you go. And okay, maybe I'm not supposed to say this, but I love it when a dude stands over the other dude like, you got something to say. But on that previous one of those previous plays from behind, one of the things I loved is that even when he's making first contact, he's got that flat back, and his back, he's only standing up like that after he's got underneath him.
He's rolling his hips out. Yep.
So,
and that's what you teach to finish. That's a great technique, right? That's how you feel. You get under the pads, you drive, and right as you feel that guy on his heels, throw your hips in, bury him.
Yeah. So this guy, we're going to have to get, he's going to have to get NIL money from International House of Pancakes, if you know what I mean.
I mean, there's a, I'm trying to think, isn't there a place in Boulder that's known for pancakes?
I don't know.
I need to eat more. I need to eat more in Boulder. But look at this guy. He's eating plenty. I mean, this man just throwing nice, guys down.
Nice pass protection there. He can basically do it all. I think he'll need a little bit of work on his pass pro because they don't really do that. But we don't really do that either. So I think this is a great pickup. And LaMarcus Jones, like Leo said, let's see. Where do you say he's from? Down in Jackson, Mississippi, right?
Yeah.
Right, but he's transferring up to Brentwood Academy in Brentwood, Tennessee. And Brentwood Academy is like the IMG of Tennessee, or like the Valor of Tennessee. It's a big-time school that often plays on the road out of state. And it's a big-time football place. So he's going to get even better coaching for his final senior year.
For sure. And that goes back to, again, the competition aspect. Who are you playing? Who are these highlights actually going to be against? Because if you're doing it against a bunch of nobodies, that's one thing. But to do it against, you know, guys who are also going to be playing college football, and then you're dominating them, whew, that's a bad man.
Well, and that's one of the difficulties of trying to evaluate offensive linemen in the state of Colorado, because there's no good defensive linemen and linebackers here. They're good for high school, but they're not, you know, there's almost never linebackers here that are in the 235 pound range who can run, right? There are very seldom 300 pound defensive tackles who can move worth a damn. So it's very hard to evaluate. First of all, you can evaluate their athleticism, their size, their flexibility and things like that. But, you know, with a lot of offensive linemen, you're not going to know until they get up to our level how they're going to handle facing, you know, some 300 pounder or some 240 pound, you know, out defensive end.
Correct. And again, that's kind of the harder thing, especially with a state like Colorado, is the competition's just not equal and comparative towards a place like the South. And, you know, even California, places where you have so much more schools and more resources for bigger, better players.
Yeah, down in the South, they got those big defensive tackles that can move. You know, I coached a couple of years in North Carolina, and I was coaching offensive line, and we had to deal with some of those dudes, man. So
yeah.
No.
For sure.
Yeah, we're not repping Jeep. We're not getting any money.
Get that ad out of here, Huddle. You know, Huddle always trying to get you to click on the ad and stuff, but yeah. Bug Jones. It's funny. It's quite ironic having a nickname like Bug when you look like you could step on 1,000 of them at the same time. So,
right. Yeah, take a lot of bugs to turn him in to make him up. So I think that guy's pretty exciting. I think that I think we're going to continue to see this kind of commits in this class, and we're kind of trending way up. But we got one more guy we want to talk about today. And that's another four-star guy, Jaden Kelly Murray, who's a 90-rated wide receiver, 5'10", 170, 72 catches. Look at those. I mean, those stats are just ridiculous. It's just silly. And he's from South Carolina. So, again, a fifth football state that we got this kid from. And he was already committed to South Carolina. And, you know, one of the questions we always used to have about a guy is, like, we'd get a guy out of Washington, right? And he didn't get an offer from Washington or Washington State. And I'm always, you know, I'm always like, what the hell, man? Why don't the home teams want him, right?
Yeah.
So this kid was committed to the home team, and they're a good SEC team. So we're picking up a dude that's for real here.
Yeah, the Gamecocks are a good program to, you know, take a chance on yourself and go cross country away from home, out of your comfort, and committing to Colorado. It's a big change.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at his film. We're kind of running a little bit long here, but let's take a look at him. We'll do an ad read, and then we'll close things out.
Yeah, got him lined up in the slot over here. Start off, right side of your screen. Boy, just keep it running over. This is a little fudgy.
Yeah, their colors just kind of bleed into the grass, don't they?
They do.
And we will. Yeah, the folks. Well,
there we go. That's a better one.
Freeze this real quick. I almost have to go in the next room and throw up because of the color combination right there. But I'll try to contain it. As long as we don't see a certain person on that sideline, we'll just.
I was gonna say, it kind of looks like your favorite coach over there. Aren't you the biggest Oregon fan?
You can't push that button, brother. You got to earn that one. All right, let's keep this rolling. We're talking about Jaden Kelly Murray, and at 5'11", 170, he is sort of your prototypical slot guy. And I think the success that we're going to have in offense this year, I think that we're going to see guys, running backs and wide receivers just really wanting to come here.
Yeah, and you look at him, his ability to get off the ball. He's shown a variety of routes just in this first few. Did a really good job in snatching that one on the corner there.
Yeah, good feet. A 5'11 guy posting up in the corner. That's kind of unusual.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, here's some punt return highlights. He did it all, man. He did really good things. And that's kind of a telltale sign, right, about how good you are as a player. If your coaches are going to play you at every position, it probably means you're one of the better people on the team. And so he's got that trust to be able to come out. Look at him leaking out the backfield here, running up for a rail route. Oh, that was awesome.
Look at you, man. Knows the name of the routes and the route trees and stuff. Rail route. I'm getting railroaded is what I think is what happened.
Yeah, just coming right up the sideline, man. And just the way they're able to move him around, I think Brandon Marion's offense has a lot of motions and that kind of thing. And they're going to put slot guys in the backfield. They're going to line them up in a bunch of different ways to try to mismatch and get the kind of matchup they want against these defensive backs. So if you have a guy who's able to, you know, line up in the backfield and still run his routes correctly and effectively, I think that's a huge sign of, you know, what's to come in the go-go offense for the future. So super exciting.
Yeah, this kid's got a really great speed, too. You just watch him run away from people.
Yeah.
Oliver, let's watch this last play, and then we'll stop this, and we'll do our last ad read, and we'll just kind of go into the wrap.
Yeah, and I'll kind of add, too, before we kind of go into that ad break, the touchdowns stand out to me. This kid's able to find the end zone, and that's one thing you really want with the wide receivers, especially in Brendan Marion's go-go offense. Who knows how many catches you're actually going to get? You're going to have a couple opportunities a game because there are so many mouths to feed, and just the way that the scheme goes, it's not going to be dependent on one singular person that you're going to have to take advantage of your opportunities. And if he's able to make those, you know, 4 or 5 catches a game or potentially, you know, 4 to 8 catches a game turn into touchdowns, that's going to matter.
Well, and Brendan Marion's an intelligent offensive coordinator, knows what the hell he's doing. Not saying the previous guys were not. I'm saying it. But he's going to stick with what works, right? And if the running game's working, Brendan Marion's not going to go to something else, right? So you better, if you're receiving, you get an opportunity, you better make something out of it, because if the pass game's running, he's going to stick with that, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot going to be a lot of opportunities for guys at lots of different positions. And I think looking forward, based on what I see in this offense, that people are going to try and stop the wide receivers and the running backs. And I think tight ends are going to become a weapon because people aren't going to account for them. And suddenly you got a big guy rumbling down the field.
So. Well, you got Josh Niblett too coming in, from the South as well. He's got his coaching experience in Georgia and Bama. So he's been accustomed to playing, coaching a lot of these young guys. He's kind of, built that repertoire as a person who can connect and develop. So I'm really excited to see how he fits into this coaching staff and what his room could bring, because we haven't even mentioned him yet.
All right, well, let's take our last ad break, and then we'll come back and see if we got anybody that wants to come on and ask us any questions or anything, and we will wrap this thing up.
Let's do it.
Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad. Boulder born, Buffs proud.
We're going to have to get up there to the Hungry Toad. I think Hans Lerada, the owner, is coming back from England and have to introduce him to you.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was one of the last conversations I actually had with Adam. I was asking him about, the sponsorships and stuff. I was at his house and he's like, oh, you haven't been to the Hungry Toad? He's like, we got to go. We're going to go to the Hungry Toad. That's one of the things I was wishing to do.
That allows me to preview that at the end of this podcast, I hope everybody sticks around, because Liz Munstertiger put together a little film of us of I guess we'll call them outtakes or bloopers of Adam. But one of them is him eating a hot dog at the sink. And as you look at him, you'll be seeing him like I am. I'm to his left. Okay. And I'm going to tell you this, that big burger and the mac and cheese, maybe this is not something to be proud of, but I was the only one to finish my meal. if you can eat a lot and that's what you got, you go with it,
That's exactly. Well, and we're big guys, man. You got to be able to put down your food. Respect the food.
Although the doctor says I need to be less of a big guy, so we're working on that.
For sure.
So, Oliver, I think you've got somebody that wants to come on line with us here.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure the link is all working. That's one of the funny things about the call-ins is seeing if it all comes together. Obviously, this huddle video stuff did not work out like we wanted. Oh, here we go. Looks like
that's exactly what it was, Liz.
Yeah, I mean, that burger looked phenomenal. I remember when the Juju burger was – I mean, me and Adam were just talking about burgers too. Like, literally, he was going over his favorite burger list with Trill being at top, of course. And he was even shouting out his own burger skills. So, I even remember, this reminded me back, towards the spring when we had Xavier Hill talk about his triple cheeseburger and, going to get one of those. So, I think I'm going to do a triple cheeseburger soon in honor of Adam and – gonna have to eat one in his honor.
Let's chat real quick while we're waiting for Oliver. Just real quick, let's wrap up what we know about the 2027 class at this point. I think we're in the top 40 now or something close to that. And
yeah,
we're trending, if we keep on this route, trending towards maybe top 30 or higher. So got a lot of offers out there, had a lot of visits from really good guys, and we've got some crystal balls of guys to us, and if we close on some of these guys, we're going to have a hell of a class.
Yeah, and we got some more visits, happening soon this week, June 5th, and even tomorrow, June 1st, I believe, Oliver, correct me if I'm wrong, there are a couple of visits coming, so we're going to make sure we're on top of those for you guys and having stories and trying to reach out to all these recruits and that kind of thing, so you guys are staying up to date.
All right, so Oliver, go ahead and tell us who we got here.
All right, so we got Run Tell Dat Series. He's been in the comments this whole stream, all last podcast as well. So welcome him in.
And you're screening, right? So that nobody comes on here and said, hey, that one bald guy's ugly and we need to get rid of him, right?
I'm doing my best.
I love it, William. Listen, I'm only going to take up one, if you can just allow me 1 minute and maybe no more than, for sure, no more than 2 minutes. All right. I'm the gentleman that came on stage and my name was Warren Lounge.
Warren. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my channel, we have a very fairly new channel, Run Tell That. I got a magazine dropping tomorrow and it's featured your channel and featured Adam and the show that you guys did on Adam. So it's going to be a digital magazine. It's going to be free to everybody. I'm going to post it on my channel and all you got to do is click on the link and you'll be able to go read the magazine. It's going to deal with a lot of stuff that you guys talked about today. And I just want to encourage you, William. Man, I followed you. I've been following you guys from the beginning that we transitioned over to Colorado. So, man, I love your commentary. You guys hit it out the park today. So I understand you probably got some stuff that you want to work on because you want to make sure stuff is professional and this, that, and the other. But you're still doing the commentary is just crazy cold, if I could say it that way. And well, the name of the magazine, you guys, is Gas on Deck Magazine. It's my first issue. And I'm hoping that you guys will provide me with some feedback, some ideas that I might can be able to use. I'm welcome to all of that. I appreciate you guys, man. Y'all did a wonderful job, man. Salute to Adam, Liz. There's a link. I'm going to send Liz a personal link to her Twitter account so she can take a look at the magazine. I love y'all show, man. Y'all do a good job. So that's what I wanted to have to say.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you as well. We appreciate everybody that shows up for us here. You talked about we're going to get a little more professional and get a little bit better at things. The first thing I'm going to say right now, I'm going to crack on my man here because the bed sheet, dude, we got to do better.
Yeah, we're gonna fix that. I'm trying to like rearrange my room right now, you know, and like
I didn't catch that while we guys I was looking at that. William, you wanted to point that out, so
yeah, I told
bring that on William.
You got a big skin on here, man.
Yeah, for sure. I love that.
Man, I appreciate y'all. Salute, man. I'll be looking forward for everything. I'm always got you guys on my notifications on for you guys. So I like what you guys doing. I like the rawness that you bring, William. Keep it up, man. You're doing a fine job. Adam, I'm proud.
Yeah. Thank you to Oliver. Thank you to Leo. And thank you to Liz, who's giving us all kinds of help. And with that, we're gonna close this thing out with a little video that Liz sent us. And I hope you all enjoy this. I hope it plays smooth, but I hope you'll enjoy all this.
For sure. Thanks, Warren. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you all for being here today. I don't know if we'll pop in after the video or what, but I think this is going to take us out.
On the drive down here, Brian, I saw the McRib is back. So we got that going for us this week as well.
Hey, anytime that's back, that's a good thing, right?
You can't pick everybody.
Well, I can't. Why can't I? Like you said, and I quote, no criteria, no rules.
Well, London Merritt's my guy, and you're stepping on my toes here. Okay. Just he flipped from Ohio State to Colorado late in the process. Let that sink in.
Right, that's a.
You guys were able to get it in one bite, huh?
It's a struggle.
Squeeze it down.
That's a good burger, huh? Yeah, that's a good burger to be. From Oregon.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah. Yesterday. Dylan Gabriel, that's who you're talking about.
Okay. Well,
who is he coached by in college?
My. Punk that needs to get beat up, but obviously my comedic timing was not there. You just didn't pick up on that.
It worked. I had to process what you were saying real quick.
You got to be quick, man.
Colorado, a huge win tonight.
Well, I'll give you $10, Brian. There's some crusty tortillas over there. Will you eat one of those for $10?
Save your money. Go get another mediocre calzone.
It might be just as good as that calzone we had last night. So
it just might be.
We'll just put a burrito in one hand, a dumbbell in the other, and just pump, eat, and then switch so you don't have, you know, one side just getting too bulky, the other side not getting enough stimulation.
I'm not hiring you as my personal trainer. You're fired. You're fired. But
they won nine freaking games and won the Heisman Trophy last year. So Rick George is the reason that happened because he brought in Coach Prime. And I want these Loveland kids to do well at Colorado. I can't really be a fan while they're in college because of the whole journalistic standard thing. But internally, I'm definitely rooting for these guys.
Nationally, I mean, you've got
the wind's almost blowing the camera over here.
So that's where this season just completely falling apart. Check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2. Brian, will you check to see if the audio is working? check.
That's great.
Travis Hunter, what is your vertical leap? We want to find out. April 4th. In this indoor practice facility. Ice baby,